We are grateful to the Lord every time that we can come together to hear His word, to receive exhortations, teachings, and whatever goes with it, receiving, accepting it, thanking Him for it. These weekend gatherings are not for the purpose to preach mighty sermons, but merely to have fellowship with the Lord and with one another. Fellowship is so good if it happens in the love of God. And when one can esteem the other higher than himself, one accepting the other as we are, trusting the Lord that He, with all of us, by His grace, will reach the destination. As we heard already, the way may be sometimes steep and thorny, incomprehensible for us, that we almost want to shake our heads, and yet, on the deep inside of a child of God is the absolute certainty, I lead you this way. And the initial rebellion merges then into thanksgiving, and we become still and trust the Lord, knowing that He will bring it to pass. I actually didn't want to travel anymore. I said it a couple of times already. And now it seems to come very hard to me. On the weekend, now next weekend, we have 3 meetings in England. And as the Lord leads so wonderfully, I like to mention it here for edification. I have preached a few times in Singapore and made then a journey to China and then returned again to Singapore and met their brothers who are of Chinese origin. And one of them, he said, come in my house. And God has led it then in such a way that he afterwards made a journey to China. He speaks, of course, their language. And here and there he could give testimony in various churches of that what God has done in our time. And then it came to pass that he took a flight to England to continue his studies there. There are, of course, people who still would like to know much, learning much before the Lord comes. Also this exists, and you should leave it to them. In fact, one shouldn't judge anyone. The one is led in a simple way, the other one a bit higher. It makes no difference. In any case, this man testified in the university of that what God has done. And one shouldn't think it to be possible. But now on Saturday, on the coming Saturday, about 10 brothers and some sisters are there who I should baptize in England, who became believers. One could judge and say, what does this man want to study there on the university? But he who perhaps reaches a little too high in our opinion is the one whom God could use to introduce others to the truth or to lead them to the Lord. It could even happen to us while we judge others. We waste the precious time. Instead of judging others, we should serve the Lord and do what we can to show others the way. We, of course, read yesterday the word of the fruit from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Lord wants to prune. He wants to make us fruitful. And this is all our wish. Then, God willing, on the following Tuesday, it goes to Kinshasa. And then I return and afterwards straight to New York. I didn't want all this. This just came so towards me without having planned it. But I say to myself, as long as God opens doors, we want to enter and bring the precious word. I know very well that the end of the month will get difficult with Vienna and Salzburg and Zurich and so forth. But if it is up to us, we want to make use of the time. And if we are not the ones, then it's those to whom we testified. And in the end, when time merges into eternity, we will find out that God has blessed. I tell you, if one will see in eternity the fruit which has come forth from this one call of our brother Branham, also through the ministry of the evangelists, who would have never carried out this ministry if God would not have worked in a supernatural way, calling, commissioning, and sending. Perhaps I have said it somewhere or written it. One would have not heard anything of all the other evangelists. But they had their inspiration, their stimulation. They experienced this in a meeting of Brother Branham, I think here, especially on Osborne. I should become his manager 1960 for Europe. How nicely he said that, how he desperate returned from India as a very young man. With much enthusiasm, he traveled to India and he thought he could convert all of India. And then he returned, desperate, and wanted to quit totally. And his wife, as the first, went to a meeting in Portland, Oregon, and she phoned him and said, "Listen, you must come. You must come." And he came. And this was then the evening when the man who was possessed came to the platform and spit at Brother Branham, calling him all kinds of things like the serpent in the grass or hypocrite and all kinds of things. And this young man watched it, what would take place there. You know the story. Brother Branham heard a voice say, "Because he challenged you publicly, therefore he has to sink at your feet before all the people." And as this man wanted to strike, and Brother Branham said he was a strong man, and it really looked like that now comes a blow. And then Brother Branham made just one step from the microphone, and the man drops between pulpit and him while he wanted to strike. And when Osborne and many others saw that, it was done at once. They have seen the hand of the Lord is with this man. But one could ask already the first question, if one wanted it. Why did God allow this to happen in the first place? That a man of God is spit at publicly and is called all kinds of things. If that had not happened, there would have been no test at all, no glorification of the name of Jesus, no manifestation of power, of the presence of the living God. God has ways with us which we don't understand. And very few of you know, But that Satan would like to make an end to my life, this you all know. Although very few know what happened to me on the 1st of May. Never in my life have I ever thanked God so often every day for keeping me alive. I really could have been gone in one moment. It was the hand of the Almighty God and nothing else. But one could again ask the question and think, why does God allow certain things? In the midst of all what is happening, we experience the faithfulness of our God. One could start with Jonas and other men of God and the people of God. Why did this and that happen? Why didn't he do straight away what God told him? And so forth. And then we read in the New Testament, there our Lord says, there shall be no sign given to you, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Nice sign. The sign of a disobedient prophet. But that was not the point. It was about something completely different. It was about that the Almighty God has taken precautions and the fish was there to receive him, and then it went straight down. And what happened? In the deep, he called upon the Lord, and God answered and brought him to the shore. And he let the man who was doomed to die, he let him come on the scene to carry out the commission that was originally given to him. The ways of our God, no one of us can feel them out, and no one is allowed to ask, why is it this way and not that way? We of course think in our time, especially on Brother Branham, as an example, as an ideal, but right with him, it rained into his house, and this really in a hard way. You all know, his own father died as a drunkard in his arms, and the devil, he came then and said, look how many you have led to the Lord, and your own father dies in your arms. I tell you, it were not easy days. And then his wife perished in the flood. His daughter died. And again the enemy comes and attacks him very mightily and says, you preached of the love of God. You have worked and you sacrificed yourself in the ministry in the kingdom of God. Look, you preached the love. If he would love you, then you didn't need to experience all of this. The devil will always attack us there where we are the most vulnerable, where it hits us worst. There he will wound us. And do you know what his intention then is? Then he would like to set us in rebellion against God and directs the whole maneuver from himself to God. And that's the bad thing. As in the days of Job, we know it precisely. It was not God who made life difficult for Job. It was Satan. For thus it is written, so he went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. Not God has done it, but the enemy exchanges then to the believers the roles, so that instead of getting angry with the enemy, they get angry with the Lord and start to quarrel with God. And this may not be. If we want to quarrel and have a dispute, then not with God, then with the enemy. For the enemy is our adversary. God is our friend. God loves us. God's ways are ways of love and of peace with us. And thus it is written, His thoughts are thoughts of peace and love. For thus says the Lord, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. That's how it is written in the prophet Jeremiah. And we know, until into this time, God, who not only has love, but who is love, this is a big difference. We have love, but we are not love. Not you and not I. But God not only has, God is love. His whole nature is love. And this God, who is love, He wants that we feel well in His love. Since we are among ourselves here this morning, let me remind you on some things of that what God has done. Sometimes we overlook it or overhear it. We may read it, but nevertheless, we are not dealing so much with it. However, we are dealing in these last days with the word of the hour. The point is that we understand God in His doing, in His plan, in His ways with His church. Not to preach around Him, think around Him, and bypass Him, but to find Him in His Word, to discover in His Word the ways with us, and to recognize the message which God gave us, and to abide in it. I know when Brother Branham, in 1933, wanted to lay the cornerstone for the tabernacle. There he woke up early in the morning, and the word of the Lord came to him. Read 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he read it, up to verse 5 probably. Make full proof of thy ministry. You all know the scripture. And he took the page out of the Bible. He took it out and he put it into this cornerstone of the building. And the Lord showed him a vision. And there it said, not this building is your sphere of influence, but in this vision he was placed under the open sky. God already showed him then, although he had to have a local church, he showed him, your ministry is not limited to this local church. I will send you to the people. We all know, to the prophet Jeremiah was said, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before you were formed in the womb, I sanctified thee as a prophet. Somebody actually rated me too high somewhere and said, you know all very well that Brother Frank is a prophet of God. And I thought, all in the world, but this is now going too far. We let some things be done to us, but not everything. No, I was not, I am not, and I will probably not be one either. However, one thing came into my heart, namely the word of the prophet Amos, where it is written, God does nothing unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. That's verse 7. And in verse 8 it says, the lion has roared, the Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? And then I thought by myself, one doesn't need to be a prophet. One just needs to bring and carry the God-given prophetic message to the people of God. And with this, we are again at our subject. It is a prophetic age. And because this is so, God has given us a prophetic message. And just imagine, write this verse there. In chapter 3, the lion has roared, the Lord God has spoken. Not a man. The man just passed on the speaking of God, has received, but not for himself, but he received the word of the hour for the church of the living God. Now, if we were called by God for the purpose in this our time to carry the word of God, which word shall we then carry? Then we have to carry the word, the promised word of the hour. And all who bypass it, bypass God and on that what he does. And in that moment, the spirits then also separate. This word there in verse 8 reminds me on Revelation chapter 5, where it is written of the book which was sealed and the question, who is worthy to take it and to open the seals and to reveal it? John wept, but the answer came, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome to take the book and to open the seals. You all know the events which happened, especially since the end of 62, and then also 28th of February 1963, when the appearing of the Lord became visible in the cloud, and the voice said, return to Jeffersonville, for the time to open the seven seals has come. God made in our time history, as we on one hand see and witness the course of history, so we see on the other hand the course of the divine plan of salvation with the church and with Israel. Verily, by the grace of God, we received the word of the hour by divine revelation. And as I said many times, this doesn't go to our heads, but it touches our hearts. It humbles us beyond measure under the mighty hand of God. For we have to ask ourselves, who are we that God has given us this privilege in our time to hear what many prophets and righteous men would have liked to hear? And you can believe me, the prophets had partly the insight into the plan of salvation of our God. They prophesied of the grace that should come upon us, and they searched to which time the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing to. They fell asleep and have not seen it. Likewise, there were the apostles and great men in the time period of the New Testament. all of them. They of course waited for that, what God is doing in our days. What shall we say now? We, the most miserable, the poorest people who can exist on earth, have the privilege to sit at the feet of our Lord, and this with a grateful heart. You know, the Savior said once, but please don't understand this now. He said, to whom much is forgiven, he also loves much. And right, that woman from whom he cast out seven devils, it was her who was looking for him at the earliest. Yes, if God has done great things on us, then we cannot do otherwise but to love him, and this with all our heart and with all our soul. The word from 2 Timothy, which also has for me a very special meaning, as you all know, I don't want to repeat myself too often, but right this word was it, which I read at a time in Marseille, at the direct command of the Lord. And I will not forget this day. After it was over, I looked at the watch. It was 5 minutes to 5 o'clock in the morning, when I heard twice the voice, arise and read 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I hesitated for one moment to think what and how I should do it. And then the voice came for the second time, a word to which I'm just bound, a word that I have to pay attention to. And therefore, this absolute stand to everything what is not in conformity with the Word of God, to not accept and receive it at all. There are only two things. Either we are here to receive God's original Word, or we are here to receive the interpretations of the Word. Both will not be able to happen. Both will not be able to coexist. Either we are ordained to receive God's Word and to abide in it, or we go wrong and will receive the interpretations. From verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. This is a divine call for the ministry, of the preaching of his pure, holy, unfallible, seven times purified word. And this proclamation of the pure word, as the seed must precede the harvest, as a seed the pure word of God must be sown. I have somewhere on the last journey, I asked some the question and expressed simply the thought, just prove what was preached at the time of Brother Branham and what kind of things are preached today that is not found in his sermons. And then one hears some say, God walked on. Sounds very good. I have nothing against it, that God walks on with us. It would be bad if a spiritual standstill would come up. But one thing I tell you, if God walks on with us, then forever within the limits of his word, never ever will God start to go into things which come from men. No. But people don't understand it. To them much is said. And then Brother Branham is put before the wagon and the journey begins. No. Here the Holy Scripture says, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. And what is it? He who is of God, it always suits him when God's word is brought to him. Then he rejoices. To whom doesn't suit it? To all them who deviated from the word. To them it's not convenient. That doesn't suit them at all. Especially not to those who put the Bible aside. It says here, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. One needs patience, as Job and Moses had, to actually cope with all these things. Long suffering and patience to put the divine doctrine time and again upon the lampstand. And there will be people who will abide in the word of God. People that nobody can pull away from the word. But verse 3 is also a prophecy for the last days. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What is sound or healthy? It's the opposite of sick. There are doctrines which are poisoned and they make sick. They paralyze. The eyesight is no more as it should be spiritually seen. We need healthy food, spiritual, divine food, as written here. After their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers, for they will not endure sound doctrine. They even say, you don't go far enough. Oh yes, we go so far as we can go with God's help. But we don't go beyond the testimony of the scripture. Never ever. This morning, I read in a 63 sermon, long time after the opening of the seals, and there Brother Branham says, so clearly, we wait for the coming of the Lord. And he gives the exhortation, it is so near. If there is something in your life, then put it in order. And he emphasizes there the coming of the Lord. And then one hears people say, he came already in March 63. And Brother Branham waits for him in July 63. And even in November 65, what shall one say to it? It is just so that people turned away from the sound doctrine. Convulsive and sick, they seek after some kind of things to then advertise themselves. No, we remain with a simple testimony of the Holy Scripture. God has created all things through the Word, and He will also bring everything to the completion by the Spirit and by the Word in the blood-bought flock. They will have itching ears and heap up to themselves teachers who preach to them that what their ears like to hear. Then comes again verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. These are the last days. These are the days in which we live now. And I just say it here now. The greatest miracle is not even seen therein that God has revealed unto us His Word and settled us in it. The greater miracle is therein when God year in and year out can settle and ground us in this divine truth and keep us in it. You, however, remain sober in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. More we don't want than that God, through this ministry in these days, could accomplish all that what He intended to do. And if I just can make this remark here now, it is actually a criticism, not just a remark. I don't believe that one of the great evangelists carries the divine message in these days. I believe that God has revealed His Word and His will. And whoever does not include this God-given revelation of His Word and of His will in the proclamation, he speaks around God, because he does not include that what he determined. The name of this Mr. Pentecost, I don't want to mention at all, but he writes in his last circular, the world-renowned Pentecost man of the whole earth, he writes, the Pope is a born-again Christian because he has forgiven this assassin. Yes, if we reject divine truth, what is then left? And now when I think about it, that his brother Justus in South Africa was the interpreter of Brother Branham, and at close range they have seen, they heard, they witnessed. Oh, then it tears your heart apart. I'm thinking of that too. With the same man, I stood with him on the same platform in Rome in the year 64, having preached the gospel. And then one sees how the ways separated. Then one sees where they lead. And I believe, if we mention this here, then not to put others in the wrong, then just to emphasize what grace it is to reject all popularity, to refrain from wanting to be something, and to make yourself available to God. And this because of a divine call. And then you no longer have your own choice. Then God made the choice. And as it was said to Brother Branham, You made the right choice. It was my choice. That's how it is. In that moment, the will of God is manifested in our life, and the decisions which we make were already made by God, and the word that we preach was already the God-given word for our time. And this is the way of God with His people from the beginning. Who were the men who walked with God? It were those to whom the word of the Lord came, and they carried it and left it unto us. I have to read another psalm, namely Psalms 40, some verses. This is now not teaching, but shows us what God has done on us, and connected with it, it's very much upon my heart, that we would not have only accepted and received teaching, but that we rejoice in the grace and in the redemption, thanking God for that what He has done on our soul. According to the scripture, Psalms 103, who forgiveth all thine sin, and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I read from Psalms 40, the first verses. Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and heard my cry. Let's stop at this verse for a moment. Not impatient, not being excited, but becoming still before God, remembering that He will not be too late. It is good to feel a strong urge in you to meet God, to see God's working, to experience God's intervention, but not becoming impatient about it. There must be a balance between that. The longing of our heart has to be paired with patience. As the prophet says it in the Old Testament, probably Habakkuk, if the vision tarries, wait for it, for it will surely come to pass, and at the end it shall speak. But we have need of patience to attain the promises of God. Impatience can come forth quickly in an Ishmael, and this we don't want. As children of the divine promise, we have a right to the word of promise, and the word of the hour is the divine seed that was sown, and we are patient and wait for the Lord who gave us the promise until it pleases Him to not only make His word great and wonderful, but to also fulfill it. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Oh yes, we may cry to God. We may always say unto Him, Lord, You have given us the promises. We bear them in our hearts. We ponder upon Your words. We believe what You said. But yet, we want and we have to be patient. In verse 3 it says, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Also this He did. He has set our feet upon a rock. That what was movable, and I don't know it, but earlier in the Lüneburg Heath, when we went there as boys, there were meadows. They only had one layer on top. Beneath it, everything was hollow, and one could joyfully run over it. But woe, it tore. Then you were gone. Then it was over. The Lord has lifted us out from everything what gives way, out from everything where we could sink, and has set us upon the rock. And it continues here, and established my goings. In the faith in the Lord, we have received stability. It is not sand or something else what gives way, which we have as a foundation, but the rock is under our feet of faith. And therefore, it does not depend on him who takes his stand, but it depends on the foundation on which we have taken our stand. Just imagine, there the waves of the sea come, and the winds, and the downpour comes. One house falls over because it's built upon sand. The other remains standing because it was built upon a rock. What was now the cause? The ground, the foundation, that was the cause. Both have built, but the one built upon the rock. What can we for it that God has given us grace and revealed unto us this rock of salvation? Not you are the one who says, I withstood everything. No, you stand upon the rock. Everything what could reach you must deal with this rock. The winds, the downpour, everything what may come upon us has to deal with a rock upon which we took our stand. And when then our faith life is anchored in this rock, according to the scripture, that our anchor reaches behind the veil, namely up into the presence of God, up into the Holy of Holies, then we are filled with joy and with peace, with certainty of faith that we are in the hand of God and that He cares for us. But that has the following effect. Verse 4. And He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many times we have experienced it. If people find peace with God, getting to the assurance of being saved, then the heart rejoices and jubilates. This, of course, the hymn writers expressed who experienced it personally, and this is also our experience with God. A jubilation, a rejoicing because of that what God has done by His grace. He has put a new song in my mouth. Do you know where this is also written? Right in connection with the opening of the seals. Not one single time Paul or Peter in all their letters wrote of it. But here, in Revelation, in chapter 5, that we mentioned already, here it says, of the new song, Revelation 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. Which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. A new song was sung. A new epoch breaks forth. God fulfills. God begins to act. The waiting is over. The announcements, the promises become one after the other divine reality here on earth. And I tell you, if there are some who claim that since the opening of the seals, the door of grace was closed and the Lamb of God is no more on the mercy seat, then I dare to say the exact opposite. I dare to say that God has set a signal with the opening of the seals to call them in who are still outside and to let them know, listen, soon it is so far. The last call goes forth. Why should we let go forth the last call? Why is it written in Revelation 14 that the everlasting gospel shall be preached unto all nations under heaven if God would not still call out? But if we understand that with the opening of the seals, God wanted to let us know, hear my people, now it is so far. I begin to fulfill what was promised before. And I give you a time. We don't know how long this time will last. But one thing we know, God doesn't want that somebody gets lost who was ordained for eternal life. And that's how Peter writes it. In 2 Peter, in chapter 3, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering that the last ones are still saved. This is the whole purpose of the opening and realization of the last seals. We all know the first four are behind us. The fifth concerns the people of Israel. The sixth, the great tribulation. And the seventh, the completion and realization of all things which belong to the plan of salvation of God. And God gives us, in the meantime, the possibility to consider and remember, to pay attention to his speaking, to make the decision to come in order to be part of them who believed him in these last days. I read briefly on. It says here in verse 4, Psalms 40, and he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. May our experience with God be so genuine, so true, so thoroughful, that others, through that what we experienced with God can get new confidence to make their experience with God. Then it had an effect which could become a blessing for others. I hope that we not just read and heard it, but that we believe that God can do it. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. This would be nice if our experiences with God are connected with a new song that sings and plays in our heart, and then it comes over our lips. Right now, in the days in which we live, and God does what He never has done and reveals what He never revealed before in order to bring us to the completion, then our experience with that, what God is doing now in the plan of salvation, it must go side by side together. And then it will have the effect that many get new courage to serve the Lord. Also, verse 5 and 6 probably. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Everything that is friendship in this world remains behind as lies and deception. And the best friends can serve for the purpose to hold us back from being saved. And then it was worthwhile for them, but not for us. And because we look through the matter, God has given us grace and has pulled us out from the world. Rather, the friendship with God than friendship in this world. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. There were people, there were men of God, to whom the thoughts of God's salvation became so great, so precious, so valuable. And here it says, O Lord, my God, great are thy thoughts which are toward us. We mentioned it already earlier. God has thoughts of peace and salvation with us, and not of pain and not of suffering. Here we are told, numerous are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts of salvation toward us. Not without us, with us. We are included into the plan of salvation of our God, into His plan, in the realization and completion of the whole counsel of our God. And therefore, He has let us know His ways. Numerous are the wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts of salvation with us. This reminds me on 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, where it speaks of the promises of God, and then the two little words are written, by us. Without us, God cannot complete His matter. He needs people who believe Him, who trust Him, people who receive His word, his thoughts of salvation, that through them they come to realization. Numerous are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts of salvation with us. O Lord, my God, nothing can be compared with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. What shall we say today? If David, who composed or sung this psalm, already then, before the beginning of the New Testament, could say all this, what shall we say today, who we have the Old and the New Testament, seeing the promises in their fulfillment? What shall we say? To us, there's only one thing left: to thank God for everything wholeheartedly. And for this, we will take time this morning. I suggest that this is the last meeting. We have heard so much Word of God. If you have time, make use of the time to have fellowship with one another. I have seen it now in Switzerland. I have seen people in the meetings for many years, but I was never in their home. And how completely different it is suddenly, if one then sits opposite this person and hears a few words of thankfulness, of encouragement, if one hears what became great to them. You all know, if one preaches, then one doesn't always know what came forth from it. And suddenly one hears it then, and you are faced with a riddle. One preaches and thinks, hopefully fruit will come forth. Suddenly one sees it. In the fellowship with one another, God can bless us. And you will see, this fellowship becomes more deep and intimate with God and also with one another. I would like to ask that we just come to the front and that we thank the Lord together this morning. We sing now, "Just As I Am." And when I come to my flock, I will seek for the fruit. I am looking for my nature, and this is love and the sprouts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hear the word of this hour and praise God from one mouth. He puts a new song into my mouth, for I stand upon the rock. Praise God on this rock. Praise Him from one mouth. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Praise be to our God. This was by the inspiration and leading of Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, Almighty God, Word and Spirit, line up. Hallelujah. the proclamation and the working of your Spirit become one in the Church of the Living God. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, glory and worship be unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Lord, how wonderful are thy works. Hallelujah. And we praise you now from one mouth. We glorify the blood of the Lamb that redeemed us. We glorify the revealed word. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Russ, come and think. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your precious and holy word, for your speaking this morning. Lord, you are the faithful God. Even we get unfaithful, you remain faithful, Lord. Praise be to your name, Lord. You are still the same. My God, give us the grace, O God, that we stand in the right way before you. O Lord, we praise your name. Yes, Lord. You have given us the victory. We thank you, Lord, that we claim this victory for us. Praise be to your wonderful name. Receive the praise. My God, you have revealed yourself. We worship your wonderful name. O God, we can just say, receive the honor, receive the praise and the thanksgiving and the worship in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks. Praise God. And all say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Lord, you have taken the book. You have opened the seals. You have laid a new song into our hearts. Oh, we thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Lord, manifest yourself once more. Work through your Holy Spirit. Faithful God in heaven, we glorify you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, glory and worship be to our God. Hallelujah. O God, put a new song, put praise into us. Hallelujah. Praise and honor be to our God. Hallelujah. Lord, you have spoken. You have revealed yourself. Lord, we thank you for it. And we praise your name. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. Thou art worthy. Glory to the Lamb. O Lord, Almighty God, who you were, who you are, and who art to come. You, the Almighty, Lord, manifest your omnipotence in the midst of your church and confirm thy holy word in the midst of your people. Give glory to your name and bless your inheritance. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for the fellowship with you and with one another. Hallelujah.